Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there. And he also said, many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw, and welcome to Favorite Points of View. This show is a part of the 4Center podcast feed, and here on 4Center, we like to celebrate Star Wars. This is an episode, this is a show that is all about celebration, and here to celebrate with me is Ken Knapsack.
I love celebrating, I love cake, I love drinking, and I love celebrating cake and drinking and Star Wars. And this is a great show to be on. Love doing these, hearing from the fans, Joseph. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. That's so great that you just threw in a list of other things that you celebrate outside of Star Wars. Cake, drinking. I was expecting ponies to come next. That was great.
You know, I'm not great on ponies. I ride with a list. So
I like the idea of ponies. I like when they're in cartoons. I mean, I have nothing against real life ponies. Anyway, you people know what I'm saying. I don't dislike ponies. That's the point of this episode. The point of this whole show, Favorite Points of View, is we ask different listeners what is their favorite of something in Star Wars. And I think by us all sharing, you know, not what's best or what's number one, but what is something that really means a lot to us personally, you can kind of open those doors to conversation and see that there are so many different entry points to Star Wars based on, you know, your personal tastes, based on your age, based on your own just life experience or, you know, personality that you were born with. There's so many different ways to love Star Wars, and that's what we want to celebrate on Favorite Points of View. This particular episode, because it is the general holiday season, is about favorite collectibles. Ken, are you surrounded by collectibles right now?
I am Yes. I even got a new collectible just yesterday. So,
ooh,
yeah. It's you know, I love that artist. Nan Lawson does a lot of pop culture art, and just as a whimsy style, I like. And there was a limited edition 11x14 Endor with a looks like wickets in the foreground, kind of peeking out from a tree, and way in the background is an AT-ST. And it just, that's all it is. And the trees, and it's Endor, and you got a little bit of Bright Tree Village, but it's like, it's really weird. It's like Wicket's looking at the camera going, we're about to destroy that. You like that idea? It's really great.
Is it called Peking Wicket?
It needs to be Peking Wicket. I think that's just a firework. Yes, I should be. It does have a name. I forgot when I ordered it. But yes, Peking Wicket's going to be it.
Peking Wicket. And, you know, I think if you're going to call him Peking Wicket, you definitely need the special edition Ewoks where Wicket can blink, right? Otherwise, that's just too much.
Doesn't count.
Too much Peking Wicket. Anyway, I was just curious if you were surrounded by any good new collectibles. And man, I'm glad I asked because we learned about Peking Wicket. We're going to dive into the favorite collectibles that some listeners sent. Ken and I will take turns reading these, and then we'll have a little bit of our own reaction to the idea or the bit of Star Wars or the actual collectible. With that, let's dive in. Our first favorite collectible is from Will Culbertson. Here's what Will has to say. I know many fans who consider Star Wars to be like a nice warm blanket that you can wrap yourself in as a means of escaping the real world and disappearing into, let's face it, the way more interesting and fantastical world that came from the mind of George Lucas. Well, in that vein, my favorite collectible is my Darth Maul fleece throw blanket that I received as a gift from my grandma years ago when the prequels were still being released into theaters. Sure, I have other blankets that I can use to wrap it up in when it's cold, but none of them are particularly special to me. Darth Blanket, as I like to call it, is very much the exception. I have found many uses for Darth Blanket over the years. I had it draped over my favorite reading chair in my dorm room in college. I hung it like a tapestry in my very first apartment, and it is currently in use as my cat's favorite napping pad. And I think the reason I have always treated it differently than other blankets is because of the Star Wars iconography. The Star Wars mythology is extremely important to me and always has been. So when I choose to use Darth Blanket for a specific purpose, that purpose is also imbued with that sense of importance. I wanted to feel connected to Star Wars when I was reading in my favorite chair. I wanted to boldly announce to the world that my first apartment was a Star Wars apartment. And I want my cat to feel all the warmth and protection that Star Wars has to offer as he's napping. So as we all hunker down for the winter we know is coming, if anyone else has their own version of Darth Blanket, I hope you also choose to use it in a way that is special to you. That is our first collectible, Darth Blanket. What a great way to start. Ken, whether you're emotional or intellectual reactions to Darth Blanket.
I mean, you know me, I'm not much of an intellectual, but I'll tell you what, I love Darth Blanket. He claps as he stares at the camera. This is great, Will. I feel this on a lot of levels, Joseph. I feel on something that you have and you've received over the years, and it's Star Wars, and it just connects with you. And and the thing of you bring it everywhere, right? And I know you've experienced that too. And I'm sure you got stuff to say on that. And I'm looking around my office here. I don't think I have a specific example, but I definitely going from office to office too. From a security office to the Screen Junkies office to the Collider Writers Room, I've had little Star Wars trinkets I've brought all along the way. And it's exactly what Will's describing. You want to proclaim it in just, you know, a nice way, a subtle way, and a loving way. Like, yeah, me, you've met me? Cool, look at that. That's what I love, Star Wars. And I totally connect with Will bringing it with his own life through the generations of his own life.
Yeah. And I love how Will describes that he does make specific choices with Darth Blanket, but there's such a great contrast in the way that we introduce Star Wars things to our lives. Like we've talked a lot about in the podcast, we've got some great memories here today of when you buy something that's really special of like, I want this action figure in my office because it reminds me of this idea. And then there's that thing that Will's talking about that's just like, it's an everyday object. We pretty much all need blankets, particularly on depending on where you live. And it's just that kind of everyday. Like I have these two, we have a bunch of nice plates that my wife and I got when we got married. And then one day we were at Target and they have these two just cheap plates for $3. One was Captain America and one was just Darth Vader's face. And I was just like, oh, I want those. And my wife was like, you should have them. And now I have this Darth Vader plate. They're like, I could use any of this nice, these nice plates that we have, or I could just, you know, put a piece of pie on Darth Vader's face again. And it's that kind of thing that where Star Wars is just around in the really just straightforward, normal parts of life, not like set up on a shelf to celebrate a specific idea, but just kind of walking through life with you in this, you know, very kind of less specific way, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. This is, I kind of want a Darth Blanket figure now.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the other thing I would say about it that I react to for me and why I thought of my Darth Vader plate is there's something magic about the bad guys in Star Wars. Not like other bad guys don't get celebrated, but this memory from Will is just a collection of joy from reading to cats to the first apartment. And it's all based around, I have an image of a demonic murder guy, Darth Maul. But that's what makes me feel cozy and safe. There's always been a magic to the baddies in Star Wars that they are still, we can, you know, read them as the bad guys and talk about them, but they still kind of represent the warmth and the comfort and the fantasy of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've made the jokes of the Empire as the cooler toys, as did Cobra. Maybe even the Decepticons. I don't know. All the bad guys of our youth, of our franchises in our youth. But yeah, it's just connected. I love that feeling. You know, and I'm sure some people walked into Will's college dorm and were like, hey, Darth Maul. Hey.
Yeah, that's right. Let's eat some tacos. Let's play some N64. It'd be great. Yeah. All right. Great favorite point of view on your favorite collectible, Will. Best to you and Darth Blanket. Ken, let's go on.
Absolutely. This comes from longtime listener and supporter, Mark Canope. Mark, we were even joking off air. We've joked about not being able to say your name for so long now, 5 years, that we even forget how you explain to say it. But Mark Canope is real active in our Discord community as well. One of our, I'd say, spiritual leaders over there. I love his takes and his views and his perspective, and someone who came to Star Wars in 2015 with The Force Awakens. And he writes this: my favorite toy is Rey and her speeder bike from Hasbro's Black Series. I collect the regular figures, but the ones that include the vehicles are extra special. I just love to display them. And this one in particular reminds me of when I truly fell in love with Star Wars. It was those early Jakku scenes during my first watch of The Force Awakens that sealed the deal for me. One of my favorite little details in The Rise of Skywalker is that you can see the crashed speeder bike on Jakku. It tells us that Rey will be part of the legacy forever. I love being reminded of that when I see this toy on my shelf. Here we go. 2015. This great set, Joseph. It's the 6-inch scale speeder. I am staring at it right now. I'm surrounded by collectibles. I've got Infus Nest, a speeder bike, and Rey on her speeder right above my head. And I'm with Mark on this, too. This is one of my favorites. I love displaying it. And it means a lot. I know you are focused more sometimes on the 3¾, Joseph, but every once in a while you branch out. So I don't think you have this one, right?
I do not have this one. I don't think I have picked up the 3¾ one either. But you know what? I will maybe make a note on my which action figures do I want list because I love that speeder. You know, I always love Mark's perspective as somebody who came to Star Wars, you know, in this, you know, latest rebirth of Star Wars, Star Wars constantly being reborn. And you know, we have other listeners as well, but it's always great to hear that perspective. I remember for me in that very first teaser trailer that came out, you know, on Thanksgiving, I remember seeing that speeder and going, damn, that is Star Wars to me as, you know, an older fan who grew up with the original trilogy, because it looked kind of like the original trilogy of like it was worn down and it kind of made this logical sense, but it was also incredibly weird and fantastic. And then, you know, from my perspective of being with Star Wars for a long time, I love that that's clearly a speeder that also looks nothing like, you know, the speeder bikes from Endor or, you know, the swoop bikes from the expanded universe. And just thinking that Star Wars, it has that sense of being really old, aesthetically cool, but also there's something new about it. So I always love the speeder, and I'm so on the same page with Mark about that detail in Rise of Skywalker. I love that her bike has crashed there. It, you know, the shot doesn't linger on it. The point of the shot is the Star Destroyer is going down everywhere in the galaxy, including over Jakku. But I just, that simple quick shot says so much that she grew up around these symbols, these legendary symbols of the past crashed into the sand. And now, you know, someday somebody's going to make a pilgrimage to Jakku because Jedi Master Rey Skywalker came from Jakku, and somebody's going to find that and go, was this hers? Was she ever just a normal person who lived on a desert planet? And it's, I get all that from that one tiny shot.
Absolutely. It's all there. What I can't wait to the teaser trailer for episode 10 in 10 years. The broken down, you know, the sands of time have worn the speeder down, but someone's like, is this Rey's? It is. Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Mark's perspective is valuable because, well, he's younger than you and I, Joseph. It wasn't like he's not part of this, like, I was seven and I saw Force Awakens, like prequel babies, as we say, with respect, but also a little nudge there. But like he was older. He was awake and conscious when he's like, let me investigate this Star Wars thing. And this movie pulled him in, and I'm with him. The opening Jakku scenes, it's still some of my favorite stuff. Some of Daisy's best work. And this speeder, you said it all so well about what it meant to see it. It's one of the first vehicles out of the gate that we saw that's new. That's a lot of pressure on it. And this wasn't even as cool as Luke's speeder, right? Luke seemed to have, he had a good car. He had a classic car. Like he had a 72 Mustang hanging around. And this is like, nah, you had a Fairmont like you and I had grown up. I still love that you and I share our first cars for Fairmont. That's a weird connection in life.
It really is.
Like this is like that version. But it was so Star Wars, and it just set the tone, and I love it. That's why I have the set. I have it displayed prominently, and it's gone now to three living arrangements as well. It's made the transition, and it will always make the transition. It's so nice, and I love it. I love that Mark loves it too.
That is so great. Well, now I have to go get the 3 3/4 one. I have to now. That's the way this works.
It's just the way.
Oh, well, I have to buy one of everything that our listeners talk about. I'm going to get my Darth Maul blanket, my Peter. Yeah. Let's move on to our next favorite collectible and see what else I need to talk myself into purchasing live on air. This one comes from Brian Tiller. Brian says, as I think about these questions, one important thing comes to mind. Why did I not keep the Star Wars toys I had as a kid? I was 5 when Star Wars came out, saw with my parents in the theater, and finally 11 when those murder bears yub-nubbed in joy after the second Death Star blew up. I love Star Wars, and now after about a year of really diving in with you three, I love it even more. Oh, that's very kind, Brian. Thank you. Okay, says Brian. My favorite toy as a youngling was the OG X-Wing, the one with the R2-D2 you push down to open the wings. My friends and I would come up with gameplay, rules of engagement, so to speak, using number systems of how far you can move your figure, ship, etc. across the yard to pew-pew each other, and I always thought how lucky I was to have an X-Wing. It's amazing how now, about 40 years later, how much impact a toy can have on you, which brings me to today. I have an X-Wing ornament, which brings me such joy. It brings me to that space and feeling back when I was a kid. It puts everything into perspective that this wonderful world George created is for the kid at heart. Thank you, Star Wars. Ken, how do you react to that one?
Oh, man, this is great. I was so jealous of those who had that X-Wing, and I shouldn't have that in my heart. That's not the Jedi way. And the story of my getting the Y-Wing, which was this wonderful ship, and dropped a bomb. Okay. It dropped a bomb and had working landing gear and batteries, which meant you press the button and you had the little gun turret on the back makes a sound. I had a cool toy, but envy came into my heart every time I would go to my friend's house and I'd see this X-Wing and the push down thing. He's talking when you push R2's head and the wings opened up. It just was like the height of technology to a 7-year-old. What? So I love it. But you know, the story I always tell over and over again, I get, but me, you know, becoming just such a fan of the Y-Wing goes back to that Christmas day, that Christmas morn. And I threw it away. I had to throw it away a year and a half ago when I moved. It just had fallen into such a sad shape. It just keeping it just just serve no purpose other than to remind me that time goes and we all break away. So one day I'll get an OG Y-Wing Kenner again and maybe in box. But I'm with you, Brian. I'm with you on those memories and how even seeing an X-Wing now takes you back to that. And that's part of it. And I know it's what we preach here at Star Wars, at Force Center Way about Star Wars. Letting that joy fuel you doesn't mean you don't, your views of it doesn't grow and mature and change or change shape, and you don't understand different things about Star Wars than you did before. But the joy should still connect back to the first moments, whatever age, quite frankly, when you discover Star Wars. And Brian's speaking that right here, and I love it.
Right. No, that's such a great point, to go from Mark's thought about Ray's speeder in 2015 to Brian's thought about the X-Wing in 1977 of that. Star Wars is, you know, supposed to be fantastic, literally, right? Of you see something and your eyes just kind of widen and go like, what is this bizarre and beautiful and strange thing? And, you know, yeah. It makes me want to, you know, engage in that feeling of sort of joy and speed and wonder. And I think just always using that as a Star Wars anchor, you know, when you get distracted by all the, you know, discussion and sometimes heated debate, to have that anchor and just look at a part of Star Wars that just brings you joy is so great, regardless of when that came from. Yeah, you are not alone, Ken, in your jealousy. I don't think I've mentioned this on Force Center, which is like, how have I not mentioned every thought I've ever had yet on Force Center? We had some cousins who lived on a like farm that we would go visit in outstate Minnesota. And I always wanted to go visit them because they had the OG X-Wing, which was like, you know, brighter and wider, and the original TIE fighter. And I was so envious, and just, I don't think I was allowed to play with them. I think my cousin Freddie allowed me to watch as he played with them. And even that was thrilling. And then I eventually got the battle damaged X-Wing, which was, you know, a little more gray, and you could put the decal on it. And I loved that because it was, I wanted everything. Got that with the Dagobah playset because I wanted everything to reenact all of Luke's emotional journey on Dagobah. So that was that was really, really great. But yeah, I just think it's so great to hear about how everybody has their different points of joy with Star Wars. And I really love this detail that Brian shared about setting up the rules. That's so great that he and his friends basically managed to do like kind of some tabletop board gaming in their lawn with their X-Wing. That's what I want to do today. I want to get together with a bunch of friends with our broken down old toys and, you know, basically set up rules of engagement on our lawns when we can all get together again.
Hey, you know, that's probably where a lot of great games, RPG games, have been created, on the playgrounds and backyards of the 80s.
In the actual physical and imaginary lawns of our minds, right? That's where the joy comes from. Great perspective, great collectible. Thanks, Brian. Ken, why don't you take the next one?
Yeah, Laura Martin, check it in. And she writes, I'm not sure if this counts as a collectible, but my favorite Star Wars related item that I have is the Medal of Yavin lanyard. I got it Celebration Orlando in 2017. When I ordered my tickets, I decided to also get the lanyards on a whim, not knowing what they were going to be. Imagine my complete and utter delight when I saw them. A childhood dream was realized. It's currently displayed in my home office, and I'm looking at it as I type this out. But the reason why I love this lanyard so much is because of the memories associated with it. It reminds me of a fantastic trip I had with my best friend and brother. I've spoken on here before about how Star Wars drew me closer to my brothers, especially my youngest brother, who was also a Force Center patron. Hello, younger brother. From Celebration 2017, he flew in from out of state. I left my kids at home with my husband and my brother, and I spent the weekend having an amazing time together at Celebration, just two siblings hanging out, surrounded by a fandom they love. It was a golden weekend, made even better because we usually didn't get a lot of one-on-one time together whenever we visited. And also, he didn't want to spring for lanyards, and I talked him into it. So I get to say, I told you so, for the rest of my life. That's great, Laura. First of all, that's a collectible. 100%. That's a collectible.
Absolutely.
Joseph, what do you feel about this? The celebration memories, the warmth, and collecting passes as memorabilia.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved this story regardless, because it's got so many great ideas about how our relationships in specific times and places, add so much more to the actual collectible or Star Wars object. But I love that it's Medal of Yavin, a thing that is from Star Wars is not only tied up into pure celebration, the joy of A New Hope, of Luke and Han made these difficult, hard decisions, and Leia is in this position of power and she awards them so that they've got all this joy attached to them. But then also because of just this long-standing joke in the storytelling about Chewie not getting one, and that going all the way to Rise of Skywalker with Chewie showing off his medal to 3PO and R2, Medal of Yavin has kind of got this special place in, I think, the hearts of lots of Star Wars fans as a thing to be desired, because like Chewie, you're like, I want one, right? So I think it's extra great that Laura's story is about, like, you know, if her brother had not agreed to getting one, he would have ended up the Chewie of the situation, but instead they both got one.
He avoided being Chewie, which is not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing to be Chewbacca. Let me be very clear on that.
The reason I love this is not just, you know, I am one, it's about 3 feet out of my reach here to make it effective on an audio podcast, but I have a drawer with all of my passes from all the cons and stuff I've gone to. And I know I'm not alone in doing that. And what's the reason why? There's no reason other than to take a step towards hoarding. But it's emotional. And I just started doing it on a whim. And I remember Alicia Malone and I used to talk in the Schmoes day. She's like, oh God, every film festival, I just keep them and I display them. And after a while, it just becomes for you. It's something for you to look at and go, oh yeah, that was 2014. That's when I did this. Or, hey, that's Wizard World Las Vegas where Joseph and I drank at that hotel bar. and we went downtown and all stuff, like all that stuff. But it's something special about Star Wars. And Laura, you're so right to describe the true meaning of Star Wars celebration during this holiday season. And why we missed it. It isn't the reveals and the big panels. That's definitely part of it, and that definitely makes it fun. But it is those little moments in a hotel bar, laughing, celebrating what you saw, looking back on often like Orlando. What I remember a lot about Orlando was a busy, crazy time, but it was just the little moments of walking back to the hotel with David Griffin from Collider and just talking about Star Wars and a long walk on a muggy, humid Orlando day. Like, those are the memories. And that's, I think, what Laura's talking about here more than anything. And that's why we miss celebration this year for good reason. It'll be back. And what a great time that's going to be.
Yeah, great thoughts, Ken. Building on Laura's great thoughts, I keep all of my passes from all the conventions of the years. There's badges. There are getting to be so many. My drawer in my desk is literally overflowing. And I love the celebration ones, you know, especially the ones that just say adult. You know, it's a picture of a character. And another, you know, underneath, you know, the first celebration I went to in Anaheim, I just went for one day. So I think I might be misremembering. I think it's a picture of Luke and then it says Friday adult. It looks like that's like some weird like interpretation of what the character's name is. Like, no, this character's name is not Friday adult. It's Luke Skywalker. Come on. And then the other thing of just like, yeah, I have always wanted to find Star Wars collectibles. Action figures are my big thing. I've always wanted to find them out in the world so I can have that memory. And, you know, that's getting a lot more difficult even without the pandemic, just because they can be harder to find. So, you know, I've been getting more online and trying to find a way to make it special, because to me, the object is often just imbued with the when and how. Like, you know, when we went to Celebration in Chicago this last time, we saw the great panel with the reveal that Ian McDiarmid was back as Palpatine in Rise of Skywalker. We found out the title Rise of Skywalker. And then I had like an hour before the trivia contest, the Schmodown. And I was just like, what I have to do is go to the floor and buy a Palpatine action figure I've always looked at. And, you know, I got the Revenge of the Sith, pretty straightforward. Here's Emperor Palpatine. Here's Darth Sidious. And it's a good action figure. It's a solid action figure. It's one I've always wanted. But it means so much more to me because of exactly when and why I bought it than if I had just bought it off the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some, you know, that was a great, amazing celebration. Amazing. 5 days, an extra day because we all got stranded. and that extra day.
Storms, yeah.
Yeah. The extra day proved to be one of my favorite days on the floor. But just, you, me, Brian Ward walking around, the three of us taking turns being, oh my God, that thing. Oh, look at this. And that's the stuff. And as far as, you know, I'll say, you know, we've been fortunate in the last couple of years. And I know you've been doing Dragon Con for a very long time. And, you know, you get to attend these in some sort of professional capacity or press capacity. That's great. But all that goes out the window, man, once you're there. You're just a kid in a candy shop full of Kenner. and that's what I remember when I look at that stuff. I'll say it, Laura, I don't have what you're talking. I don't have that medal of Yavin one. It's not an option. If you're covering the panel. So I would cherish that even extra if I were you. That's something not everyone got to get a hold of. And that means that means a lot. So good stuff there, Laura.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Laura, and congrats to you and your brother and your medals of Yavin. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back with a few more favorite collectibles.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com. That's JENILANDA.com for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back with more favorite points of view. The points of view we're discussing this week is some different collectibles from different listeners, their favorite Star Wars collectibles. So we've got just a few more, so let's dive in. This one comes from Autumn Sheely. Autumn says, "Hello, Force Center. One of my favorite grails is the Force Unleashed Felucian Battle Rancor, with Felucian rider and saddle included. I am a child of the prequels, and even though I grew up in a house that watched the original trilogy, I did not get the full movie-going excitement until The Phantom Menace. Even then, Darth Vader was never my go-to bad guy. I always felt bad for him and never understood him. He did terrible things, but I think it can be argued that he was never a terrible person. The truth is that I didn't understand why Vader, being the most powerful Jedi in the world, could not just walk away. That is until The Force Unleashed came along and showed how all that fear and desperation had turned him vicious. We really got to see that Sith-like greed and domination. I played those games relentlessly, and the greatest level was Felucia with Shaakti, Maris Brood, and the Rancors. I had never seen Rancors anywhere else other than Jabba's Pit, so when they made this Target exclusive figure, I had to have it. It is the most beautiful figure, too, with strips of purple and the Felucian warrior that can ride him into battle. The Rancor is easily the most badass pet in the galaxy. I mean, come on. Can you imagine the Beware Rancor Inside sign on your front door or the I Love My Rancor bumper sticker? The Force Unleashed games helped me understand many important ideas in Star Wars, the backbiting ladder climbing that took place in the ranks of the Empire and Vader's true evil self. It did then what Rogue One did years later. I started to understand how the dark side can turn and change all elements of life that it comes in contact with. Maris Brood literally used the dark side to sway the ecosystem on Felucia to create warriors for her. Black Series recently released a line of gaming greats figures, and The Force Unleashed was very well represented. So it is good to know that someone is still paying attention to The Force Unleashed and is still inspired." What do you think about that one, Ken? How do you relate to having a Felucian battle rancor?
No, because I'm still terrified of rancors going back to being seven. And, just that sequence scaring the hell out of me. So there's a little talk about going back to the joy of your youth. I still go back to the fears of my youth. But I do love rancors. And I love that one particular level, I think Autumn's describing, when you kind of like turn a corner and you're like, there's like three rancors running around here. What? Oh, one scary enough. And I do love the first Force Unleashed game. And it's not a knock on the second one. I know it got knocked and it was a little rushed and there's some story behind it. I did enjoy that as well. But the first one it's just really good and really fun and has some great characters. Rom Kata is another character. I think I'm saying that right. I do love Maris Brood. I don't know where she'd fit in to modern canon and where it would work, but there's something about Maris I've always liked, and seen Shaakti and it worked, and Starkiller, Sam Witwer, a great character. There's so much in that game to love, to learn from, and it was one of those things that's too, in a different era. It's sandwiched between coming out of the prequels before the Disney modern canon era, so it was the story for a lot of people, and that's powerful, and that's going to inspire you and pull you into Star Wars even more. And if you're part of that, if that game did that to you, that doesn't go away ever, and you can still replay the game. I've considered replaying the game a few times recently. I think I have the ability. I forget now with all these consoles. I don't have a 5 yet, so we'll see. And I love it. Yeah, so I love it. All that stuff there, and I love that a lot of those games with the figures and everything, that they can still get recognized.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a great point of view, Autumn. I didn't play Force Unleashed. I was going to buy it. It was a time where I was struggling to find more time for video games. And I think I had a Wii at the time, and all the reviews that I read were like, eh, it's a little janky on the Wii. And I was, ah, rah, rah, rah. So I've done the like read the wikis about it. So I feel basically caught up, but I haven't had this visceral experience, which I really want to make time to go and play it, because I know it means a lot to people. This is such a great reminder from Autumn that, you know, we try to always keep in mind that everybody has different entry points to Star Wars, and sometimes it's easy to boil that down to a little bit generational. But there, we always get these great reminders from listeners that it's not, you know, just original trilogy, prequels, Clone Wars. It is that there's the expanded universe, that the people who got in through the books, there's the people who got in through a specific video game, there's people who got hooked because of a specific novelization. And that's what, you know, unlocked a big idea in Star Wars, the way Autumn is describing, and kind of opened up the movies to them because of their love of this other thing, a video game or a book, you know, or, you know, I don't know, a read the story, listen to it on an album generation. There's so many different ways to come into Star Wars, and so many different things to love. And I think there's the other thing about Autumn's favorite collectible here that really speaks to me is, even now, but particularly at different times where, you know, Star Wars is, it's still popular and everything, but, you know, Force Unleashed was, you know, in this window of like, yeah, it's not dominating the general cultural conversation, you know. Revenge of the Sith came out, and Lucas was like, I did it. I've completed Star Wars. And obviously, moving forward with the Clone Wars and all that, but it's there if you're a Star Wars fan. It's on the shelves at Target, but it's not this big cultural conversation. So even though Star Wars is one of the most popular things that has ever existed in our world, there can still be these little pockets of it where you feel like the thing I like is really obscure. And even though I'm a fan of one of the most popular things ever, this little part of it that I love, I'm not seeing it being celebrated. And that's what I see kind of glowing out of Autumn's favorite collectible, of that power of saying, I really love this video game. I really want to see it celebrated. I really love this particular beast that's celebrated in this particular video game. And it just kind of, it takes your fandom to another level to see it just in all of its molded plastic glory, you know?
Molded plastic glory. We need that on a shirt.
It is something I think about all the time. You know, we've talked about it plenty, about how, you know, the idea seems even more tangible when it's an actual action figure. Somebody tweeted us that somebody has made a 3D printer, whatever those are called, a recipe.
Yeah.
You know, instruction. 3D printer instruction. So you can print yourself a little Lulilo Primark.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so thanks whoever tweeted that to us. Because, yeah, someday I need that two-pack of Lulilo Primark and a Rhodia Ventifoli singing together on the old ship there, Dryden Voss's ship, First Light. Anyway.
Yeah.
Great thoughts, Autumn. Anything else for you, Ken?
No, absolutely. Absolutely great stuff. And, yeah, I think... For you, I'd be curious your interaction with Force Unleashed. Other than it is a great game, it's entertaining, and it obviously tells a different story that's not canon anymore in terms of rebellions and all those kind of things. But yeah, it's got some good stuff, man. Yeah, maybe one day when we have the time, you know, because we have time. Joseph plays Force Unleashed 10 years after. Whatever.
Oh, man, that would be great. We'll have to assign ourselves some things like that. Sorry, we have to. This is our assignment for the week. Anyway, yeah, I'm very, very curious to dive in all these years later. But for now, thank you very much, Autumn. Let's move on to our next collectible, Ken.
Yeah, this is from Douglas Dubois. I'm probably saying that wrong. Dubois. What is that? Is that French Cajun? Am I totally messing that up?
Dubois?
I like, ooh, that's good. Yeah, that's awesome. Douglas, you're a part of the Force Center team now. Joseph and Ken struggle to say your name. Just ask Mark Canope. It goes for a while. Douglas writes this. I have only just joined the Patreon community. Well, welcome. And I'm immediately asked the hardest question. Ha ha. I will probably change my mind 5 minutes from now, but I'll say it's my Chewy Stubby Cooler. It was a gift for my wife and kids, which is nice. Also because I love Chewy. He's a loyal friend and he's handy in a pickle and handy with a pickle. But the real kick, I added that, folks, not Douglas. But the real kicker is because I associate it with sitting in the sun, enjoying a beer with my great pal Chewy, while my great pal Chewy keeps my beer cool and shares a moment with me, just like I imagine the big guy would if he was really my best friend forever. Oh, God, this is great. Because what I love the moment in Solo where Chewie's just double fisting drinks. I love that moment.
I think he's got a high tolerance, right?
Yeah. He said, let's drink two. Great. That's just, and I think that's an underrated, you know, thing about Chewbacca. Everyone knows he's loyal and a friend and great co-pilot and all the things Douglas is saying, but I, you know, the reality is he and Han spent years together, decades, and they probably had days they annoyed each other. Clearly Chewie's got some issues with him. You know, that pops up every now and then, but there's also probably a lot of moments where they just sat with their feet up on the dashboard drinking.
Oh yeah.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah. That is just like, they clearly have this relationship where they go through just the actual ups and downs of life together. Right. They drink at bars together. You know, Chewie has to sit there, you know, while Han's probably like flirting or getting in a fight and going, you know, Chewie's probably been sitting in the Millennium Falcon when Han's had too many and is thrown up in the vac tube.
Yeah. Right.
just dealing it with it. Just being there for his buddy. All those things. Yeah, this kind of goes back to me to like the Darth blanket thing of those objects that aren't like this collectible you put on a shelf, but are just something that like, I need a blanket. I need a stubby cooler. This is a practical thing I will have anyway. Why don't I introduce some Star Wars into it? The thing that I have right now like that is one of the last times. Well, the last time I went to Dragon Con, going through all of the merch area, I wanted to buy something kind of unique, and I found this great artist who had all of these coasters that he'd put different pop culture symbols on and then kind of covered in this kind of cool, great energy to the colors way. I picked up a one for you and one for my wife, and then I got one for myself, and it's my, you know, Jedi symbol coaster. Yeah. And it's just, I always have a coaster. I've taken lots of pictures, put them on the old internet, on Instagram, Twitter. But there's something about like, just if I've had a long day and my wife kindly makes me a martini and I put it down on my Jedi coaster, it's like, this is the cocktail of the Jedi. I should drink it slowly and responsibly and take some deep breaths and just think about life, you know?
Love that. And yeah, that's, you picked up it's the Biker Scout one I have, right?
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. So that's in use every single day for me. When I usually end every day. I have about an hour, you know, to wind down, and it's fire up MLB The Show, manage my fake baseball franchise, and I just put a nice drink down on that coaster. So I literally use it every day. So number one, thank you too. It's comforting. We are of a certain sort, you, me, and many listening here. There's just great comfort in looking down and whatever utensil or coaster, blanket, if it's Star Wars, we just feel, we're home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this is a very relatable one for us. Thank you for sending it in, Douglas. That's just a beautiful picture to imagine you kicking back with Chewie to enjoy some sunshine and some relaxation and a beer. We're going to move on then to our final collectible for this episode. This comes from Omega Law.
Yeah,
you got some of the names that maybe some questions about pronunciation, which we always struggle with and apologize for. But Omega Law, that's a fun one to say. Here's what Omega Law has to say. My favorite toy is my 1995 Power of the Force 2 TIE Fighter. This toy is important to me because of how I received it. One night after returning from the only business trip I remember my father ever taking, he snuck into my room. At the head of the bed, he placed the large box. I don't think he knew that I had woken up when he left the room. I remember being really excited and going down to the living room to open and play with my gift. At first, I just marveled at the ship and whooshed it around empty, but after a while, I felt compelled to give it a pilot. The only other Star Wars figure I owned at the time was Han Solo, so he became my pilot. I made up a story about how he had stolen the TIE fighter and knew how to fly it because he used to work for the Empire. Little did I know then. I remember running the ship from one end of the room to the other and exploding the wings off. After a while, I felt that had run its course and I was tired. I needed to move on to something new. I thought and thought, but I couldn't come up with anything. Feeling a desire to not disrespect my new gift, I began running and whooshing and exploding again. I remember going to bed sometime much later, and when I woke up again, my mother chastised me for making so much noise and keeping my father up after his long trip home. I think the fact that no one came down to usher me to bed says a lot, though. In every room, as long as I have had display shelves, my TIE fighter has been prominently displayed. 2 years later, I even picked up the TIE pilot who relieved the stormtrooper who had stolen the ship back from Han Solo earlier that year. Considering my father passed away more than 15 years ago, this TIE fighter and that memory hold a special place in my heart. That is great, Omegala, from so many different perspectives, so many different reasons. Ken, what speaks to you in Omegala's favorite collectible?
I mean, there's a lot in here, and there's some sweet stuff, Omegala. I love the connection, love the family connection, and what it represents for you about the memory and legacy of your father. That's such great stuff. That said, I'm going to a weird spot. I remember getting in trouble for making Star Wars sounds as well. quick story, every Thanksgiving, we'd go to my great aunt and uncle's cabin where they live full time up in a place called Green Valley Lake, which is in the San Bernardino Mountains here in Southern California. And it was a tradition. And my great aunt and uncle, my great uncle has passed away. My great aunt's still alive. Some of the just sweetest, nicest people. I mean, they're just, you know, favorite relative status, sweethearts. A lot of people in the community loved them. They did a lot of work all around the world helping others, right? So they're sweet. That's my point. I was sitting there. My great aunt was talking to my mom in the kitchen, and I was on a bar stool. And I was pretending I was piloting an AT-ST. I don't know why, because we're in the forest, trees. I thought it was an Endor. I was like 8 or 9. And I'm like making all the sounds you make. All the sounds you make. And my great aunt finally just turns around and goes, Kenny, I need you to be quiet. And I just the shock of a nice, sweet relative that you've never been in trouble from, but me just wanted to play Star Wars. So I, you know, Omega Law, your whooshes and your pew pews. And it being loud, I connect with that part of the story more than anything.
Yeah, you gotta whoosh. You gotta make some explosion noises. When I was a kid, I had no idea it was the Wilhelm scream that I liked. But I think, you know, when I was playing with my action figures and Luke force pushed a stormtrooper, I'd be in the bedroom going, wow! And I had some discussions. Some discussions were brought to me on the subject of my Wilhelm scream. Nobody knew that it was a Wilhelm scream at the time, but I used to Wilhelm scream in the bedroom. This is so great. You know, we talked about it a lot earlier this episode about the actual object itself is a symbol of what you love about Star Wars, but it's so often a connection of specific memories, specific relationships. And boy, does a Megala really draw all those ideas home in such a relatable and fun and sweet way. It's also just, it really is great to hear all these different perspectives from different ages, you know, and get to really try to viscerally understand other people's perspective. And then, you know, relate them back to our own too of, you know, I was older when the 1995 Power of the Force 2 TIE fighter came out, but I loved it so much because I never had a TIE fighter back in the Kenner days. And I bought it. I bought a TIE fighter pilot to go with it. I don't think I had a Kenner TIE fighter pilot either. So it was, you know, for me, the Power of the Force journey was like, I can, it doesn't ruin my childhood. It was like, I can fix my childhood. And I was so happy to have it that then it came up that I was doing a Star Wars sketch with my sketch comedy improv group. And I came up with this idea for, you know, wanting, you know, an adult to be playing with a TIE fighter and for it to whoosh through something. And the other people in the group were like, well, you have a TIE fighter, right? And it's like, yeah. And I was like, but we can't use mine. And I went to Target and bought, you know, the prop 1995 Power of the Force 2 TIE fighter to pop the wings off on stage. Cause like, I'm not risking mine.
I love that. As Bobby Moynihan on SNL was telling the story about that sketch they did with the parody commercial. most of those were his toys. he was really worried about that. That's great. Why, Joseph, why is this? We have this. I talked about having the classic Kenner Hahn that I didn't have as a kid, and I got it at a convention. I feel like Lor San Tekka. This will begin to make things right. Why is that? It is truly feeling like I'm correcting a mistake of my youth.
It really did when those power, that's so how I related to that power of the Force line, and still a little bit today to figures like they never made that, or I never had that, or all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think it really is that, you know, Star Wars to me, it's not for everybody, but Star Wars for me, so much of my Star Wars anchor is relating to Luke, and he's staring out at the twin suns, you know, dreaming and hoping and wondering. And, you know, my relationship to a lot of the toys was that either doesn't exist or you can't afford that, or, you know, this was the 1 week this month where you could buy one and buy an action figure and it was sold out. And it was all this kind of staring into the horizon, dream deferred of like almost, but it got away, you know, and then growing up and, you know, going through puberty and all those challenges and still having Star Wars in my heart and thinking like, man, I still have that childlike love, and I wish I could, you know, experience that again. And it was, when those Power of the Force figures came out, it really was like the universe had heard all those kind of idle dreams of the child who still lived inside me of like, what if they just made them again and made more? And then like they did. It's like, this sounds bitter. I don't mean it this way. It's like one of those times where like you hope for something in the world and the world's like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. Like, here it is. That thing you hope for. Here it is.
Here it is. The figure you always wanted.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Well, the fact that, you know, Target is the shared joke. No, it's or not even joke, shared knowledge that they didn't make one, right? In the Kenner line. That's, you just grew up. They didn't make a Tarkin. So to release some versions of Tarkin in the Power of the Force, but also the one that came out with the board game a few years ago. It's like you hold it in your hands and you're like, finally. But like to what? Like why?
Justice.
Yeah, justice for Tarkin, the evil overlord who tried to blow up planets and did.
So now here he is in crude retro plastic form, exclusively with a board game. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. That's
so many great memories. And this is why we love doing this, because not only do we learn, it's always helpful for me to hear about people who entered Star Wars in different places and care about Star Wars in different ways, because it helps me open my mind and think about those perspectives, but it also, you know, helps me appreciate the experiences that I've had as well. So thank you everyone for sharing your favorite points of view on collectibles. We'll put a call out for some more favorite points of view as we get into the new year and share some more of them. Thank you all so much for the inspiration. Ken, where can people find you on all your other adventures?
And yeah, then maybe I'll post my dreams of the figures I never got. You can go to at Ken Napsok or go to KenNapsok.com for all the information, all the things I do and got coming up.
Excellent. And you can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my other podcast, Obsessed, comedy albums and future shows all on josephscrimshaw.com. I'm doing an online New Year's Eve show on New Year's Eve, 7:30 Pacific time, with my friends, the great music comedy duo, The Double Clicks, and some other great guests. So if you're interested in that, that's right on the front page of josephscrimshaw.com. You can, of course, like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod and buy our merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support our Patreon by visiting patreon.com/Force Center. More fun stuff coming there. But for now, thank you for listening. And as Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, another happy landing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.